You are listening to the Legal Curve post-game podcast for Friday, March 18th. Winnipeg Jets against the Chicago Blackhawks. And, you know, this night was really the Andrew Ladd return game more than anything. The Jets have nothing to play for, which wasn't evident early in this game, which we'll talk about, but was did become evident later in the game. But it was the Andrew Ladd return game. The crowd was, you know, pretty into it considering the stakes weren't very high, as I mentioned. And, you know, the Jets did a job in terms of commemorating Ladd at the first commercial break. They had a video, and he received a standing ovation from the Winnipeg Jets faithful. And, in fact, the Jets fans were cheering Ladd pretty well all night. You know, not when he touched the puck every time, kind of like Teemu Selanne had the first time he returned to Winnipeg with the Ducks. But they were able to, the Jets fans gave him an ovation. At that time, they did it during the anthem, and then when he scored later on, which we'll talk about, he got a nice cheer, and then when he finished as a second star. So a few cheers for Andrew Ladd, although when he looks across the rink, he's got to say, well, first of all, I don't even know half these players, and second of all, you know, I'm happy to be on a team that's winning and, you know, really did sustain great pressure all night. The Jets did stay in this game for the first period in about 18 minutes or so, but boy, when Chicago turned it on, they turned it on. Let's start with the recap of the game. First period was scoreless. Shots were 13-11 for the Blackhawks. He had good chances both ways. You know, Andre Pavlik made a couple nice saves. Scott Darling, impressive performance tonight with a shutout. He made a couple nice saves, and the pace was pretty good. You saw some good opportunities. The Jets certainly, at least in my opinion, I thought they certainly upped their pace of their game. You play against Vancouver, you dominate Vancouver, but Vancouver's terrible. And you play against Calgary, and you drop that one. Again, fans are probably happy that they're dropping the games, but the pace of the game is just not the same. And then the Blackhawks come in, a team that's going to need to get going for the playoffs, maybe hasn't played their best hockey lately, but just the pace of the game had changed. I thought the Jets were better for it, at least early on. I thought they played a better game. Have to kick it up with Chicago. Have to be on the ball. Have to be aware of when the Anisimov line on, which is really the Kane line, and aware of the Taves line, which actually became the same line because Kane moved up to play with Taves and Ladd. And boy, that was a dominant line. So you had, in the first period, as I mentioned, 13 shots for the Chicago Blackhawks, 11 for the Winnipeg Jets, but a pretty even period overall. I mean, the Blackhawks were the better team, but I'd say more on like a 55-45 scale than like a 70-30 kind of thing. Going to the second period, one penalty in the first period, hometown boy Jonathan Taves for hooking. And in this game, you actually have three Winnipeggers. You have Dale Weiss from Winnipeg, Jonathan Taves, and then Duncan Keith, who was born in Winnipeg, wasn't raised in Winnipeg. And then you had Ladd, actually. So kind of four connections to the city of Winnipeg. Taves went off at 9:58 in the first period. That was for hooking. Second period, you had a penalty off the hop, and it was a pretty eventful penalty. Andrew Shaw and Ben Sherratt dropped the gloves at 6:58 of the second period. Next, I should excuse myself. Tyler Myers took a penalty about 2.5 minutes or 2-3 minutes before that for interference. No damage was done. But Sherratt and Shaw got into it. And I wasn't sure, you know, who initiated it. You couldn't really see who dropped their gloves first. But Sherratt, he didn't land a punch right in Shaw's face. But sure, was sure as heck in the fists and looked like he was angry and was into that fight. There was another penalty in the second period after the fight. That was two penalties, in fact. Nicholas Chalmerson, excuse me, for tripping, and then Michael Roosevelt for hooking. So the Jets had opportunities on the power play today. And you did see, and I'll go to the ice time quickly, you did see Nick Petan play a lot of power play time. 2 minutes and 43 seconds. So, you know, pretty significant for a youngster who gets a call up to play in tonight's game. Jets weren't able to capitalize, which is one of the reasons that they lost tonight. You had the penalties, you had the chances for the Jets, but they didn't really, it looked like they were clicking much on the man advantage. Chicago doing a nice job of penalty killing. And, you know, the shots in the second period were 12-10 for the Blackhawks, but it was at the end of the period, the last 5 minutes, that things went downhill. And that starts off with, you know, probably the favorite for the Hart Trophy, Patrick Kane. His 39th goal of the season at 16:56 of the second period at even strength. All goals were at even strength tonight from Michael Roosevelt. And when you look at this goal, Patrick Kane gets the puck in open ice. And is there a more dangerous player in open ice right now? You're probably not. Kane gets a puck at open ice, and he's at the red line, basically parallel to Marco Dano. So, I mean, Dano is right there with him at the red line. Tyler Myers is between the red line and the blue line, and the defensive blue line. And then Taves is kind of trailing a little bit on Kane on the left side, on Kane's left side. And what you see here, first of all, is Kane's incredible ability to stick handle with precision at top speed. You see here how good his top speed is, how fast his top speed is, I should say, and how Dano just can't keep up. And Kane is able to beat Dano down the ice, and he puts a gorgeous backhand over Andrei Pavlik. Pavlik probably wants that back on the angle, but a gorgeous backhand past Andrei Pavlik over his left shoulder and in. And some people didn't think it was in, but it was in. It looked like off the goal cam and right out. I thought it was fairly clear. And, you know, Kane just kind of acts like he's done it before. He's excited, but it's incredible the way he's able to score there. So clearly you see that, you know, Dano isn't able to keep up speed-wise, and he tries to muscle Kane off the puck, and he's not able to do that. But Myers plays this one in a little bit of an odd fashion. And I thought overall tonight that the fashion in which the Jets were playing defense, sometimes they were, you know, kind of overthinking things and not jumping in. And I'm not saying chase the puck because you don't want to do that. But you have to support, and I thought the Jets were a little late in their reads in terms of support. Here, Tyler Myers has got to realize, okay, I have length on Kane. Sure, if I go at Kane, he may use Taves to my side, okay? Now, Taves is a dangerous player, we all know that. He's won everything. But to me, he's got to identify, Tyler Myers has to identify, hey, Dano will not be able to keep up with Kane. And he doesn't do that, and he backs off Kane, and kind of holds up for Taves, who eventually catches up because, you know, Taves is going, skating hard, and Myers is kind of not moving, you know, too fast. And by the time Myers kind of thinks maybe he should help or he holds off Taves, Kane's able to go down the ice and essentially a breakaway. Now, not a great angle, but still a breakaway. So I didn't like that play by Tyler Myers. Again, top-end skill by Patrick Kane, and the Blackhawks were impressive tonight. When the Jets were playing with them, wasn't that the Blackhawks were playing poorly. The Jets were playing well, I thought. So that was the first goal at 16:56, only 24 seconds later. And this was the game to me. And when this goal went in, you could just see the Jets kind of, I'm not going to say threw in the towel. I never say a team throws in the towel. But I didn't like the pushback from the Jets tonight at all. On this play here, you have a turnover from Drew Stafford. Drew Stafford's playing the left wing with Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler. And it's not an easy play, depending on the way the angle the puck comes on the boards. To pick that puck and make a play. Now, sometimes it's easier if your stick to pick the puck off the boards, but the problem is making the play after that is not easy. And Stafford kind of makes a play and then loses the puck. He loses the puck when he's pressured to Artem Anisimov. Anisimov comes in with speed then, because he's the forechecker at the blue line. He comes in with speed, and he's able to kind of outside in, instead of inside out, outside in on Enstrom. And then Enstrom kind of gets beat because, you know, he's going the opposite way. He's got to stop and start. And Anisimov is speed. And Enstrom thinks the puck's coming out because Stafford was handling it. He beats Enstrom. And Byfuglien comes to help Enstrom. And you know what? You look at the replay, probably the right play here, even though Byfuglien had Taves kind of behind him, because Anisimov had beat Enstrom pretty good, and it was in the slot. Byfuglien comes in to help. And when he helps, Anisimov goes to take the shot. It actually... the strength of the release knocks a stick out of Byfuglien's hands. There's not even a rebound. The puck just pops over to Hossa. Bad luck for the Jets. Pops over to Hossa. Hossa puts it in, and Pavlik didn't. You know, as if it was a rebound because Pavlik had no chance on this one. And it's 2-0 Hawks. They go into the end of the second period up 2-0. Shots after two. If you total the first two, after we talked about 25 for the Hawks, 21 for the Jets. But did you expect the Jets to push back in the third? I didn't really. Their performance, I thought, was probably worse than I expected. Even though it was only 11-7 shots in the third, the Jets really didn't have much. Andrew Ladd, the former favorite son of Winnipeg, he scores 3:06 into the third period. Of course, at even strength from Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane, the line they put together, Joel Quenneville put together. I think it was in the second period. This is a cycle play, and this is just a blown coverage by the Jets. Jonathan Taves comes down the boards, so if you're looking into the offensive zone as the offensive team, he's on the right side boards. He's going in on the cycle, down low in the right corner, and Tobias Enstrom's on him. And Mark Scheifele, as a center, identifies Ladd as his guy. And he identifies Ladd as his guy and then turns his head back and then decides to help Enstrom, maybe with the size of Taves, kind of off of a spin play, but really not in a dangerous area. And when Scheifele identifies Ladd, he's got to know where he is and stick with him. And he doesn't do that. He identifies Ladd, goes back, turns his head again, and then goes at and goes at Jonathan Taves. When he does that, Taves just threads the pass through the seam right to Ladd, who, as Jets fans know, is a quick release. That puck, I think, went low blocker or blocker side on Andrei Pavlik, 3-0 for the Hawks. That's Ladd's 20th of the year. Assist to Taves, as I mentioned, 25th assist, and Kane, 53 assists. So Kane has, what is that? That's 92 points this year. He is worth the price of admission. Now, you might not like the Jets' effort or performance tonight. I would take, you know, an issue certainly with the performance. But Patrick Kane was just, I thought, incredible. Just such a great player to watch. And the final goal of the night was only a minute and 45 seconds later for the Hawks. A turnover by Andrew Kopp at the defensive zone blue line results in Thomas Fleischmann floating in, kind of going in a little bit with speed, picks it up off the turnover, and comes in on Pavlik. And here's the same thing. Trouba is worried about, and Teravainen gets an assist, I guess, for tipping the puck off of Kopp. But Trouba here, you know, he's worried about the back door. I don't know if it was Teravainen or who it was that he was worried about. But he's kind of worried about the back door, and he waits and waits and waits, and he gives Fleischmann all the time in the world too. And again, it's not the best angle, but Fleischmann made a gorgeous dangle around to beat Pavlik, and Pavlik wasn't very good tonight, I thought. He just looks lost to me out there positionally. But you look at Fleischmann's move, and you like the move. It's a great move. But to me, Trouba's got to be more aggressive there and identify the biggest threat to the net and take his chances that the biggest threat, if he negates it, the secondary threat will, you know, hopefully miss. Whereas they seem to just be going rolling with the first threat and saying, okay, we'll take our chances. And I don't like that approach. 4-0. The rest of it, you're just playing out the string. You had a penalty to Chris Thorburn at 10:37 of the third. And the Hawks had two penalties. Excuse me, Thorburn's was a coincidental with Desjardins for slashing 10:37. And the Hawks took a penalty, Duncan Keith, for interference at 14:52. That mattered not. And the Jets ended up losing their 71st game of the year, 4-0. In terms of ice times and Jets, no surprise here. Who leads the Jets in ice time? Dustin Bufflin plays 27:45. When you look at forwards, the leading skater for the Jets was, make sure I get this right, Blake Wheeler, 20 minutes and 32 seconds. Over on the Hawks side, you know, felt like Duncan Keith was on the ice the whole night. He wasn't. He was on for 24:41. So you see the way the Jets utilize their defense versus Chicago. I thought Duncan Keith was very good tonight. Very good. He had 24:41. The Hawks, highest playing forward in terms of ice time was, let's see here, make sure I get this right. Boy, these ice times are all really low for these guys. The Hawks do not play their top guys too much. It was Andrew Ladd with 16:16. He was a top forward in regards to ice time. So you look at that as compared to Blake Wheeler, 20 minutes. Considerable difference at even strength. Blake Wheeler played 15 minutes. At even strength, Andrew Ladd played 12. Now, I know there's penalties and such that go along with that. But overall, ice time, you can see the Hawks are spreading it around. And you know what? Scott Darling played a real nice game today. They look like a team that is going to be exceptionally dangerous. I do have some concern about the defense, but in reality, you look around every team in the league, there are concerns about some part of their team, but they aren't major concerns with this Blackhawks team. And you know, if your biggest concern is your fourth defenseman, you really don't have any other holes, then you're probably in good shape. Jets get back at it Sunday against Anaheim. I believe it's a 2 o'clock game, but we'll be on the air tomorrow morning for the Legal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m., with many guests, including Tom Lynn, former assistant GM of the Minnesota Wild, to talk about how a team would run their expansion draft and how his team ran his expansion draft in the early 2000s. Thanks and have a good night.